Today on Real Life Radio.
Heaven, we can only imagine, but it's going to be so awesome, so great, that just when we begin to think, oh, if this could go on forever, we'll be reminded it shall and it will. It's going to be great.
Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. Real Life. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called The Book of Revelation with a message titled Our New Home. You know, in every civilization and culture throughout history, there's one thing that connects us. It's the strong desire to know what's waiting for us on the other side. You see, heaven's been given many titles, but by any other name, it is where God lives. And for the true follower of Jesus Christ, it'll be our new eternal home, a place that we desire and is full of hope, and the anticipation of its splendor is what marks a Christian life. So today on this part of the message, Pastor Jack tells us that our heavenly home will be like a bride kept with purity for her husband. Heaven's light will be like a precious stone illuminated by God for all time and for all eternity. And now in his message called Our New Home, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
You would, and turn to the book of Revelation chapter 21. And obviously we are near the end of the book, and this is exciting things. Look, we've spent 20 chapters getting to Revelation 21. And now here we come to what my heart's desire and passion is, I hope it is yours, and that is to get to heaven. It's not like, I mean, get to heaven like I hope I get there. By the grace of God Almighty and by the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross, I know that I'm going to heaven. Not by any works of righteousness on my own. I'm excited about heaven because God has paved the way for me to go. It's not by any merits of my own or by any merits of anyone else, but by Jesus Christ alone and what he's done for me on the cross. And so that being the case, I'm excited about heaven. And many people, when they come to this portion of the Bible, or when you talk about heaven, inevitably somebody who wants to poo-poo the excitement about heaven will come up afterwards and say, now, Pastor, be careful. We can become so heavenly-minded that we're no earthly good. I can honestly tell you, I have never met a person who is so heavenly-minded that they're no earthly good. I think, in fact, the church is so earthly-minded that quite often it's no heavenly good. I think we need to think about heaven more and more. I think we need to meditate on heaven more and more. I think when you read the Psalms, David was prone to be thinking about heaven. I think certainly in our Western world and certainly in Southern California, we can begin to think we live in heaven. But listen, we don't live in heaven. This place is a dump compared to where we're going. And you need to be excited about heaven. And I'm excited about heaven, and I hope you are too. The title of our message this morning is Our New Home. You say, well, Pastor, I don't intend on moving. Well, then stay here. But I'm going to a new home. And all of you who have the Bible in your heart, you're excited about your new home. Your new home is heaven. And the Bible tells us that our very citizenship is in heaven. Listen, before we get into the study, Revelation 3:12 tells us, Jesus spoke and he said, he who overcomes, I will make him to be a pillar in the temple of my God, said Jesus, and he shall go out no more, and I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem. You're going to be hearing a lot about that this morning, which comes down out of heaven from my God, and I will write on him, I trust that's all of us this morning, my new name. He who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit, that is the Holy Spirit, says to the churches. Heaven has been given many titles and many names in the Bible. And by the way, just a few of them, you might want to jot it down because it plays into where we're going this morning. Heaven has been referred to in the Bible as paradise or the kingdom. It's been referred to as the country or the dwelling or the city of God. But here in Revelation 21, heaven, the city of God, is likened unto a bride, as we shall see in a moment. But remember this, as we christened this chapter last week together, Revelation 21:1 tells us that John saw, coming out of heaven, a new earth created by God, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no more sea. Verse 2, John says, then I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared, note it, as a bride. You need to mark that because in our study this morning, you're going to hear about the city of God, the New Jerusalem being the bride. But the law of first mention here, Revelation 21, tells us who the bride is. And that is the church of Jesus Christ in heaven. But what about the city? Well, this is where the bride resides. This is where the saints reside. The Old Testament saints will live there. The tribulation saints will live there. But what qualifies it as the dwelling place of God is the fact that Jesus Christ is there. That God is there. And that the church, the bride of Christ, is there. And so we know through Scripture, Revelation earlier on taught us that the city, for example, of Babylon was referenced or referred to as a female. She is this great city. She is this harlot, Babylon. Well, in the same vein, in the same thinking, so the city of God is referred to as a bride. It is a city. It is a place of dwelling, as we shall see this morning. But church, we're going to heaven, and I'm excited about that. And we're going to see a description about heaven and about this great city, the New Jerusalem, which will come down out of heaven. And we're going to be excited about it. Heaven is our final destination for all time and eternity concerning the believer. Listen, before we get into this study, I was blessed to read this week a story by Dr. David Jeremiah, just south of here. Pastors a wonderful church there at Shadow Mountain in San Diego. Dr. David Jeremiah tells about a man in his church who has who had a teenage son, and he was dying of cancer. And the father was outside in the hallway, and the oncologist had told this man, "Your son is dying. There's no hope. We've tried everything." And at the same time, this young man was beginning to sense and feel that eternity was not far off from him. 13 years old. And as the man made his way into the hospital room of his son to tell him the news that the doctors had said there's nothing that they can do. They've tried everything. They've exhausted themselves in attempts, that he had gone through all of the chemotherapy that you could do. The father walks up to that son and he's begins to try to form the words, and the son just interrupted him. And the son said, "Dad, I sense that heaven is near, that the Lord wants to take me to heaven." And I want to read to you what that boy said. He said, "Dad, I need to tell you something. I'm going to heaven. And Dad, there has not been a time in my life that I can't remember when you have not told me about heaven. Dad, I'm ready to go." The father comes in to comfort the son about heaven. The son interrupts the son to tell the father, "Dad, thank you. As I think about, Lord, taking me into the kingdom of God forever, Dad, I want to tell you, I can't think of a day when you did not tell me about heaven." Parents, you need to be encouraging your children and your friends and family and all those who we know about heaven. We focus so much on what is negative and what's not right and what is not ours. But the truth of the matter is, through Jesus Christ, heaven's real. It's not some pipe dream. It's not some imagination. It's not something. It's real. And when this young boy said to his dad, and it blessed my heart, and that's why I read it to you this morning, "Dad, there has not been a time when you have not told me about heaven." We need to be prepared for heaven. We need to be excited about heaven. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, "Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has it entered in the minds of men the things that God has prepared for those who love him." And the question this morning is, do you love God? Do you want God in your life? Do you want Christ as your Lord and Savior? Again, you've been hearing this verse over and over again, but it bears repeating. Jesus said about this wonderful moment, "In my Father's house are many mansions. And if it were not so, I would have told you. I go now to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also." So as we look to our exciting new home, keep this in mind. Point number one this morning, we'll go through as far as we can today. Point one, our new home is found in verses 9 through 11, as that is, our heavenly home will be like a bride. Now note that, would you? Our new home, heaven, will be like a bride. And you need to stop and think what a bride is like. This is fun. For us guys, we don't really get much of that. I have to confess, the day of my wedding, my goodness, to Lisa, 26 years ago, I remember that morning I got up and a friend of mine, we went to the beach and we just laid out and played in the water and waited till 4 o'clock to come. Really, we just waited. The wedding was at 4 and that's all I was supposed to do. And I had hardly talked to Lisa that week because they were so busy about doing whatever they do. And I what was required of me was to show up, be there, while they're doing all their stuff. And you know that dress, I don't know how many people it takes to get that dress on, but she's making herself and getting herself all ready and everything's getting ready. The chapel's getting ready and everybody's getting ready and all right. Well, I don't know about you, but when you think of a bride, she is absolutely at her pinnacle. And I have to say this, and if you've seen my wife, I can embarrass her right now because she's not here right now. I don't think she's here right now. But my wife looked beautiful that day, and she looked more beautiful that day than she had in previous days. She looked the most beautiful that day. But the fun thing, and maybe this is love, I don't know, but the fun thing is, after the wedding, and still to this hour, she's become more beautiful to me. That's amazing. God does that. Life does that. 26 years of marriage does that. And so, you know, when I begin to doubt and have fears and begin to think a moment, I look at my wife and there's a reminder, there truly is a God in heaven and he loves me because he's given me a beautiful woman, a wonderful woman. She came down that aisle 26 years ago, prepared. She was a bride. She was my bride. The Bible speaks about this great city being adorned as a bride. And I got an idea that though we'll be introduced to heaven on that grand and glorious moment when we enter heaven, the truth is for all time and eternity, it's going to get better, sweeter. It's going to be more wonderful as time goes on. How and what will heaven be like? Awesome. What will it be like after 1,000 years? More awesome. What will it be after 1,000,000 years? More awesome, awesome, awesome more. It's going to be glorious. Our heavenly home will be like a bride. So because of that, look at verse 9. We need to be filled with anticipation. Then one of the seven angels, John speaks about him in previous chapters, who had, past tense, it's over now, he had the seven bowls filled with the seven last plagues. Remember that? We studied it. He came to me and he talked with me saying, come and I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. So John sees this great city prepared, and we know that's the case from Revelation 21, verses 1 and 2. The announcement is made. And there's this wonderful personification of this great city where the church will reside for all time and eternity. But the point that he's making here is that we need to be filled with anticipation. John is saying, I saw. The very construction of it demands the excitement. John is like this. I saw. It's like, finally. All right. Oh, finally. I can't wait. Oh, pastor, watch out. You're going to become so heavenly minded. You're no earthly good. No, I can't wait to see heaven. It's where we're going. Are you a Christian this morning? It's where you're going. It's what God has prepared for us. It's what's best. And whatever you and I can try to throw up or match up against heaven is a joke. Oh, but you know what? I just got this, or I just got a promotion, or I just whatever. It's a joke compared to. You look at the things around life. You look at the things that God has blessed. We were talking this morning in the office about God's handiwork. Birds and the sky and mountains and valleys and things that God he does out of his goodness. And you can take the best of this world and it wanes in comparison to where we're going. It's exciting to realize we need to be filled with anticipation. And the announcement is made to John by the angel, come and I will show you. And God wants to do that in your life. You might want to say this morning, Lord, fill me with anticipation. Cause me, Lord, to be able to say with excitement, I'm anticipating your coming. I can't wait to see you. should be the anticipation of the believer. It should mark the Christian life. Matthew 25, 13, Jesus said, "Watch therefore, for you do not know neither the day or the hour in which the Son of Man is coming." That shouldn't scare us. That should excite us. Titus 2:13 tells us, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. And that word looking in the Greek means that the believer is scanning the horizon. We are scanning, we are looking and watching for the coming of the Lord. Now you might want to ask or be thinking, how in the world can I live my life daily as a Christian but work for DuPont or work for Costco or be a gardener or a contractor or raise children? How can I be scanning the horizon and teaching my children or doing this work or doing that job? That's the balance to the Christian life. Because my heart is in heaven and my feet are on earth, I'm to be busy and you are to be busy about our, what? Who? Father's business. Because heaven is in my sights and my feet are on earth, I'm to be doing the things that bless God. That is raising our children. That is doing my job at its best. That is relating to people in a way that is God-honoring and Christian-like. But at the same time, when I hear a truck blow a horn or somebody blow a trumpet, or I see a cloud, or I, you know what I'm talking about? You ever seen a sunset and you begin to think? You know, I don't know where you were yesterday afternoon. I was away from here, but the sun was setting, and I looked down a street. And have you ever been to California Adventure at Disneyland? And they got that street and they got that fake sunset at the end of the street. It looked just like that. And I had to turn around and look. I looked and it looked just like that fake street at Disneyland with the sunset, with the palm trees. I stopped and I grabbed the person and I said, "Look, that looks just like that fake street in Disneyland." Well, you know what? It grabbed my attention because it looked so beautiful. As we walk in this world, we need to have our eyes scanning. That's what that word means, to scan the horizon, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God. Does the fact that He's soon to come for us at any moment change the way that you live your life? Does it govern the way that you think and what you do? It should, as a believer. We are to anticipate His coming. And so we need to be filled with that anticipation. Look at verse 10. We see that this city, and so should we, be kept with purity. We're to be kept with purity. By verse 10, it says, "And he carried me away in the spirit," John says, "to a great and high mountain, and he showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem," same as the reference of chapter 21, verses 1 and 2, "descending out of heaven from God, kept with purity." The fact of the matter is, this is a new Jerusalem. Notice the contrast, not earthly Jerusalem. Now the millennium has passed. We've studied that previously. This is now eternity. The millennium is over. The day of God begins. And this is where you and I will reside forever. It is a new heaven and a new earth. And as eternity begins, God will descend from His presence this new city. And it is awesome. And it's been kept. It is the holy city. It is a new Jerusalem. It's where God desires to put forth His dwelling place among men. And it's a wonderful, glorious event. And that is our hope as Christians, that we are going to live for all time and eternity. I'm going to sneak ahead for a second. Church is going to tell us also that when that day dawns, the sun will never set. There'll never be an evening. There will never be a night. It will be a day. Now look, isn't that answer to our dreams, to our hopes? When you've had such a great day, you'll say things like, "I wish this day would never end." Have you ever said that? "This has been such a great time. I wish it would go on forever." God says, "I heard that prayer. I heard that request." Heaven, we can only imagine, but it's going to be so awesome, so great, that just when we begin to think, "Oh, if this could go on forever," we'll be reminded it shall and it will. It's going to be great. I can't wait. Not only that, verse 11, "Our heavenly home will be like a bride, because God will illuminate with His presence." It says, "having the glory of God," the Shekinah of God, "her light was like the most precious stone, like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. By the way, as we begin to mention these precious stones, keep this in mind, every word in the construction here in the Greek demands this. As we read these stones, for example, precious stones, the jasper, clear as crystal, we're going to name other stones if I can pronounce them in a moment. These very stones are all opaque or transparent in appearance. They will be tremendous. Church, you got to, you know what? I have to confess, I blew it for you this morning. I was supposed to bring in the thing for me that reminds me of such beautiful things that I'm trying to imagine. I got a Thomas Kincaid book, and I was going to make a bunch of pictures, and you could see them as they're up on the screen, but I forgot the book. And you say, well, I like Thomas Kincaid paintings. So do I, but as I was looking through them anyway, I realized as I'm reading this, as good as Thomas Kincaid is, it doesn't match where we're going. But have you ever seen those pictures where it's just so heartwarming? You just want to go right in, walk down that little rain-strewn street, walk inside that house and sit down at the table where that yellow light's glowing out of the house. You can almost smell the smell of turkey coming out of the window or apple pie. You say, well, we moved. Jack, you're nuts. Well, that's what I want you to do about heaven. Think about it right now. Oh, my goodness. It's this place descending out of the presence of God. That's where we're going. And it has this appearance of jasper, clear as crystal. Light, the Shekinah, the glory of God is illuminating out of it. It's going to be spectacular. So it's not only going to be illuminated, and it's not only going to be pure because God has prepared it. We should not only anticipate it. Look at our second point this morning. Our new home, verses 12 to 14, our heavenly home will be secure. It will be safe. Verses 12 to 13, secured throughout all the ages. It says in verse 12 also, she had a great, that is the city, had a great and high wall. Notice this, 12 gates and 12 angels at the gates. One at each gate, obviously. And the names written on them, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. Gee, you think 12 is important to God? Three gates on the east, three gates on the north, three gates on the south, and three gates on the west. In Matthew chapter 8, verse 11, the Bible says, and I say to you that many will come from the east and from the west and will sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. God is making this announcement. John is seeing it, that this great and glorious place has got an angel. Mark it. There's an angel at each of the gates. There's three gates on each side. Each gate has the name of one of the 12 tribes of Israel. That's significant, especially for those, and there's a lot of them, church, listen. There's a lot of people walking around today, and they're on Christian radio and Christian TV, announcing that God is done with the nation Israel. That's heresy, my friend. By the way, if you're here today and you hold to that view that God is done with the nation of Israel, you are really, really kicking against not only the Word of God, but the will of God. God is not done with the nation of Israel.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio with his message called Our New Home. Thanks for being here today. You know, our new home is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Book of Revelation. It's a series on the final book of the Bible and the unveiling of future events for us and for the world. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. You know, you might feel like you're caught in a trap and temptation is waiting for you, right? Or perhaps old habits, newly disguised and repackaged, are catching you off guard. This month's Book of the Month is specifically designed to help you. It's called Temptation, The Battle of Your Life. It's written by our very own Jack Hibbs. It's a very practical book that offers us a very powerful and effective defense against these attacks. So don't let temptation trip you up ever again. The Lord has promised us that He will not lead us into temptation, but He's going to deliver us from the evil one.
It's one of the hallmarks of evidence that you are a true believer is that you now recognize temptation. So this book will walk you through some of the subtleties of our enemy.
The book Temptation is yours for a gift of any amount. It's available right now at our website, jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.